Pedal the Cause happening September 20th and 21st. Several weeks away from that. But coming up this Friday is World Without Cancer Day. And this is thanks to Pedal the Cause. And what happens is local restaurants and retailers around St. Louis are going to donate a portion of their sales to support Pedal the Cause in their efforts to fund transformational cancer research at Siteman Cancer Center. Joining us today to talk about it is David Dreyer, the executive director of Pedal the Cause, and also Kui Tran, who is a chef and owner of My Lee and Nudo House, two really great restaurants here in the St. Louis area. And we got them both in studio. Guys, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us. That's very kind words, so thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have Kui.
Yeah, Dave,
you'll
be quiet for a second. We're going to talk to Kui real quick because
he's like the Tom Cruise of food in St. Louis. Everybody, I mean, Nudo House and My Lee are my absolute favorite.
Well, we appreciate that. I'll try not, since I'm the Tom Cruise, I'll try not to jump on this chair today.
Or out the window.
Even if you do, it won't ruin your career because the guy's still the biggest name in Hollywood.
Right. So from my point of view, best crab rangoon at Nudo House in the world. Maybe in the world.
Well, we appreciate that.
Good.
It's I'll never tell you we do the best of anything. We just very appreciative that people enjoy what we do, and you know, we just try to continue to do it on a daily basis consistently. So
it's so much pho. much. I think there's like a direct line from like my direct deposit and like directly to Nudo House.
You know, next time we'll just you know, get pho to everybody at the station here. How about that?
We'll just bring everybody in. Anyway, well, thank you so much for being with us today as we talk about a world without cancer. I guess since we're talking about restaurants, I do have to ask you quickly, where did you go to dinner last night, David?
So last night was Truffles. And the table next to us were three illustrious Pedal women. Terry Grieg.
Yes.
Lisa Zygmunt.
Lisa Zygmunt.
Back in town.
Yes.
And Joan Berkman.
Oh, gosh.
Joan.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
was a power table.
That is
I
a
love
power.
Joan.
That because they're all forces. And I always say Terry is a nice bully. Like, she's like, would you like to do Pedal the Cause? You're doing it. I got you a bike. Here's a helmet. Put it on. We're going now.
Raise some money now.
Raise some money now. Yes.
Joan will tell you. Joan's there to tell you what she thinks. And just right to your face. I love that woman.
I love
Joan. She's great.
Have you ever thought about dyeing your hair?
Yeah.
Not until now.
Have you ever thought about not looking like you look? Has anyone ever considered that?
Is she Asian? Holy cow, that's what my brother's like. Is she Asian? Because that's how Asian people talk to you. You know?
Is that your mom or your grandma?
No, just Asians. You walk in, it's like, you're too skinny, you should eat something. And then like, oh, now you're too fat, you should eat less. It's like, you know, which one is it? It's like,
okay, I would never have told the story, and I cannot believe I'm telling it on air. But the day I met Joan, I had just delivered a speech to about 60 women about Pedal the Cause. And she came up to me and she said, you need a handler. And I'm like, is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Like you want to take me to great heights here?
Yeah.
Or like, dude, you just start hitting.
You never know. And you know what? You don't need to know. But she's telling you what you need.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And Lisa Zygmunt, just obviously everyone knows Lisa Zygmunt from her work with the news in St. Louis and how much she has raised for Pedal the Cause as well. She and Terry, I mean, two titans.
Yeah. She's been a stalwart and just a huge, huge fan and participant and fundraiser and, amazing woman.
So, On Friday is the World Without Cancer Day, and as I mentioned, all these restaurants and retailers in the area donating some of the proceeds to Pedal the Cause. And I know you do this every year. How has it grown? Where are we now compared to last year, year before, and so on?
It keeps growing. Kui, by the way, you've been involved since the very beginning. So he brought My Lee in year one of a World Without Cancer Day, and then Nudo House has been around for what?
2017, so 8 years.
8 years.
So yeah,
brought Nudo House in as well. You know, it's in the past 5 years, it's doubled. Last year was about $100,000 in dollars raised. We're thinking this year should be similar, maybe a 10% more. We hope. But I mean, talking with Kui leading up to this, he said, you know, traffic is down. People are not dining out as frequently as maybe they were last time this year. So I don't know.
Do you think some of that is, you know, obviously the cost, everything's expensive, but does this heat put a damper on people?
You know, we're from St. Louis. I mean, we're used to this, yeah. You know, I mean, we're used to 12 inches of snow. We're used to 100 degree days. So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, high costs and inflation. And it's hard. You know, people are suffering. You know, people are having a hard time, and we can't expect people to do more than they already have. You know, we're very appreciative for what we get. But I think that's what it is. But, you know, also St. Louis is the most charitable city per capita. So we also expect a high turnout and, you know, it's greatly appreciated. You know, St. Louis does turn up for a lot of these for good causes, and you know that's always a great thing.
Yeah,
I think too. Just a reminder for people who have heard of Pedal the Cause and like, okay, it's raising money for cancer research, but just how far every dollar donated to Pedal the Cause goes, because it stays here in St. Louis and it provides funding for research that otherwise wouldn't be funded, couldn't get done, and quite literally new cancer treatments and medications have started here because of Pedal the Cause.
We're raising the standard of care in cancer treatment around the country through the breakthroughs that are funded, started by Pedal. And as you say, you know, we look to incubate new ideas, give them the light of day, give them a chance. Federal funding kicks in once an idea is really proven at a certain level. And so in order for the researchers at Siteman to get funded by us, they go through a peer review process, much like they have to get the federal funds. It's just earlier in the cycle, and the peer review indicates whether or not it has a good chance of going on further. And we're doing pretty well. There's 243 projects that have been funded over these 15 years with about $51 million. And the research has gone on average, 2-3 years hence from when we started, to raise another $14 for every dollar invested. So we're talking about $600 million in dollars that have come in because we started these 243 projects.
And the main event is happening on Saturday. So where does World Without Cancer Day Friday? How significant is that one day in particular to the entire cause?
So it's symbolically our kickoff day. We're kind of like in high season now, putting a real focus on leading up to the Pedal weekend on September 21. Mm-hmm. We sort of turn the calendar over and say to our rider fundraisers who do the heavy lifting, now's the time to really start fundraising. Fundraising goes beyond the ride through October 31st. Last year, record year, $5.2 million. And this year we're expecting to have another record. We're hopeful, at least. And so the dollars that come in on Friday actually help to fund matching programs so that we spur on the rider activity and their fundraising. So on a couple of given days, we always keep them a guess because, it's just better to surprise people and saying, hey, today there's $100,000 available for any new dollars you bring in. We'll match it. Mm. And this sort of gives us that firepower to be able to do that.
Yeah, pedalthecause.org, if you want to see a list of all the restaurants and retailers that are involved in this, like Nudo House and Miley and Queed, being a part of this since the beginning, as David said, easy call for you?
Oh, it's a super easy call. I mean, you know, unfortunately, cancer is going to touch everyone's lives in some, you know, form or fashion. And unfortunately for others, it touches their lives more. So, I mean, it's something that everyone can rally behind, and it's something that, you know, hopefully in my lifetime, I'd like to see some kind of cure. And I think we're getting pretty close. You know, I've talked to some oncologists that work directly with Pedal, and they said that, you know, maybe in the next 10 years, we may have a cure for like leukemia, you know, some kind of blood cancer. So, I mean, this is very important because, like I said, it touches too many people's lives in the most unfortunate way. And, you know, this is something that obviously right now we've been able to cure Hep C and, you know, all this, like all these different things, but we haven't done that for cancer. And so it's something that's we need to.
Along those lines, Quee, over the past 32 years, there's been a 30% decline in cancer mortality. So we are making gains on it.
Yes,
are,
absolutely.
But more and more people, unfortunately, I feel, are showing up with a cancer diagnosis, which is unsettling. But more people are finding a way forward, either a cure or it's relegated to a chronic illness.
Sure.
That they can live with through the right meds, the right treatment, et cetera. It's affecting way too many people.
Yeah, and I mean, we're very proud to be part of this. I mean, it's something that, you know, you don't even have to explain anything to me, and it's just like, yes, we're in.
Yeah.
We're totally in.
Kui, I wanted to ask you about, Miley, in the menu, you have, pictures of your family and kind of the story of Miley. Did it start with family recipes?
I don't know those people. No, I'm just kidding. Who are these people now? It actually did. You know, we started as a Chinese restaurant, actually, mm-hmm. and it didn't go very well. And, you know, my mother, we were very poor in Vietnam. And I don't think anyone in my family had higher than a fifth grade education. We just couldn't afford it at the time. We were a bunch of farmers and street, you know, vendors. My dad was, a soldier in the South Vietnamese Army during wartime. But my mother, she just in 1985, she just started to switch up and say, hey, maybe we'll do a few Vietnamese dishes. And, you know, Joe Pollock came in, did a review in 1987.
Wow.
And he says, I've never had Vietnamese food before, but this is some pretty fantastic stuff. It's very, you know, he enjoyed it a lot, wrote a, you know, great review. And, you know, we've had everybody from Joe to Ann Pollock, you know, to, you know, just all these great people have come in. And we just kind of built it from there. And the community, like I said, the community supports us. They've always supported us for the last 40 years.
Wow.
Crazy, right? 85 to now. So 40 years. And so, you know, this is our way of giving back. And, you know, it couldn't be pedal the cause. You know, we couldn't give back to a better organization. And so, you know, we're always involved. And, you know, this is our way of giving back to the community.
Kui's part of Taste the Cause the night of September 20th, feeding all the people that come through for the inspiration program.
Yeah. 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 Taste the Cause again. What date is that?
Taste the Cause is September 20th, the Saturday night.
Before,
where we have the inspiration program and the community meal. There's 5,000 people that mm-hmm. assemble out at St. Charles Family Arena for that. And you're part of the menu offering. And then they go to the main stage. People go to the main stage for the inspiration program and hear a lot of the details around the cause and how we're making an impact on people's lives, really.
That's awesome. We've talked to you and Gerard Kraft, also part of it. He's been in before. And I mean, it's like an all-star.
All the heavyweights.
All the heavyweights are there.
Well, Gerard's even better than me because I think him and Kevin Nashon ride.
They do.
They ride.
Yes. They do ride.
Oh.
Where's your
come
bike?
On. What's going on?
I think I just ride my way into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that's about as much riding as you're going to get. I'm going to ride my way into the restaurant. Ride my way home.
We could get you on a spin bike.
Yeah, well, you know.
Why don't you and Gerard, a sidecar situation? Oh, that would be adorable.
Yes. Okay.
You guys, or a duo bike, or not a duo.
No,
like
that's
a,
fine. So either
a bicycle
so either Gerard
two.
Or Kevin can ride the bike, and they
yes.
can put me in the little cart, like their pet dog.
Yeah, you're their traveling refueling station.
Well, my nickname at home is, you know, Little Dog. My mom calls me Little Dog, so that, you know, that can
oh,
work
yeah?
out.
Do you like that nickname?
I do, because I'm a dog lover.
That's great.
So.
I think it's adorable. I just didn't know if you liked adorable
you are
or not.
The second person with a dog nickname, because Maria Kina, who's a reporter in KMOX, she's the bulldog.
Bulldog.
Oh, she's a bulldog.
Kind of like
Yeah.
There you go.
Very aggressive and tiny.
Very aggressive. And
like
tiny.
One of those Boston Terriers. Yeah. Kind of like that. Well, we're looking forward to Friday and Pedal the Cause too.
Yeah.
And people can still sign up. They can sign up day of on Pedal the Cause, right? But it's better to do it earlier.
Better to do it earlier. It gives us an indication so we can prepare meals and prepare the courses and get you your swag. And you can fundraise. You got a longer runway to fundraise, which is the name of the game. I mean, we're raising money for mm-hmm. cancer research. So,
and as Terry Grieg would say, there's no excuse because they have all different distances. There's like a stationary bike.
The spin bike.
The spin bike.
Yep, yeah.
So, I mean, no excuse.
No excuse.
Yeah.
But
Except for Queen.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. What did I set myself up for?
He's got to work, man.
I'm already cooking now.
He's got to work. He's got stuff to do.
There's a lot of rice we're frying up, you know, for this event.
So. It's powered by pedaling the
bike. We're going to bring the stationary bike out to you at the kitchen, and you'll be stirring and, you know.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. You know, I might need workers' comp then. You know, yeah. I might pass out. Yeah. I don't know. You know, riding a bike while, you know, cooking fried rice. That's a little, that's a new one.
Yeah.
World Without Cancer Day is this Friday. Numerous restaurants and retailers around the city and the area are participating in it. Portions of proceeds will go to support Pedal the Cause. Pedalthecause.org is the website. You want to look up the list. You'll see restaurants like Miley and Nudo House and many, many more. So David Dreyer and Kui Tran, we appreciate you guys coming in and appreciate the work you're doing.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Amy.
Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. Hey, at 11:30, we are going to continue our midday midlife.
Yes.
Because we did this midday midlife thing.
Yes.
All last week, just, you know, talking about the different issues that you have when you're 35, 40, 45. So no, not middle-aged.
Don't say middle-aged. People get pissed.
It's not middle-aged.
They're getting all mad.
They're going to be pissed. Midlife. Whoa. Midlife.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this every Wednesday at 11:30. And it is now the midweek, midday, midlife.
I like that.
Yeah.
I will not screw it up.
Do not mess this up. But I mean, so many people called in, texted in, saying that they love talking about those issues, whether it's raising kids, having your first kids, not having kids, career
stealing
changes.
Somebody's kids and taking them for your own.
No, oh my gosh.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
No, you're not allowed
to do that.
But, you know, career changes, taking care of, dating with kids.
Dating with children.
Dating if you've been married and divorced and you've got kids,
yes,
or they've got kids. We talked to Julie Tristan,
yes,
over at Y98 and KZK. And today, we will be chatting with Denise Brown, founder and owner at the Caregiving Years Training Academy, because a lot of people, 35, 40, 45, might have to start taking care of their parents, making decisions for their parents, might be thinking, what do we do when mom and dad can't drive anymore? And just, it's a weird time of life, especially if you're taking care of little kids and aging parents.
That, what do they call that? The sandwich?
Is it? Yeah.
Sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult. So we're going to talk to Denise about that. And we're going to, I like this idea of doing it every week because, like you said, we got so much response from it during all those shows last week. Yeah. I mean, I missed out on Monday because I was serving my jury duty, my civic duty I was doing here for St. Louis because I care about the city.
The duty of the jury. But no, if you have any ideas, any issues that you've been dealing with, 314-436-7900, call or text, or send us a message on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX, because it is a weird, weird time.
It's great time. I'm having so much fun.
You know what it even can be, though? Like,
what?
here's a topic that a lot of people are talking about when they're, you know, 40, 45, just like working out and staying fit, because your metabolism's different at 45 than it is at 25. Your time constraints are different at 45 than 25. I'm going to write that one down. Fitness. F-I-T.
Fitness pizza in your mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah. But I think that's that type of thing. Yoga. Everybody's yoga-ing.
That's not a word, dude.
You don't know that.
Taking care of aging parents. Difficult, right? And for some, it's more difficult than others. Some of us are not quite there yet, you know, but all of us will be at some point. And we are going to talk to Denise Brown, founder and owner at the Caregiving Years Training Academy. Denise will help us out with this issue next on KMOX. Our midweek, midday, midlife segment is happening on 104.1 FM KMOX. Going to do this every Wednesday at 11:30. And for those of us who are in that, you know, that range, you get into your 40s and, you know, you have aging parents. And for some people, it is a much bigger issue. It's more imminent at this age. Sometimes takes a little longer in life to get there. But for those who are wondering how to navigate this period of your life, we are talking to Denise Brown, who is the founder and owner at the Caregiving Years Training Academy. And Denise is with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Denise. How are you?
Good morning, Chris and Amy. I'm great. I hope the same for you guys, too.
Yeah, we're doing great here on this Wednesday. And I know that for some people, it's, you know, just thinking about this, thinking about having a parent or parents who are getting to that age where they're going to start to need a little more help, a little more assistance, a little more caregiving. How does a person prepare if they're not quite there yet? How do they prepare to get to that point?
That's a great question. And when I think of the answer, I think of one word, and that is ask. And it's about asking questions in order to gather information about wishes, priorities, values. And it's not only asking questions of our aging parents, it's also asking questions of others in the family, as well as ourselves. And that can be really helpful. Now, of course, part of asking is starting conversations about difficult topics. And I think we also have to be patient as we go through this process of asking, because we might be starting to ask questions about an aging parent's financial situation. Mm-hmm. Well, when you ask about someone's money, what typically are they going to answer? Well, it's none of your business, right? So an aging parent might say, this is absolutely none of your business. And it's also helpful to know, okay, I just need to know, where do you bank? How can I access important records? What do I need to know about life insurance, a trust, your financial planner? One of the things that I did with my parents that I was really grateful for, and I was kind of surprised I was this smart about it, but I asked for relationships. So I asked my parents, for instance, to introduce me to important people in their life, like their attorney, their financial planner, their friends. And when I had those relationships, it became helpful when I needed to reach out, for instance, to the financial planner, to the attorney. I knew who they were and they knew who I was.
That is such a great point with, okay, where do you bank, you know, your lawyer, close friends, and even something like how much have passwords complicated things.
Oh, yes.
Oh boy, that's a great question.
Because, like, yes. I mean, everything's a password. Everything's, you know, two-step authenticated phones. I don't even know where to begin. So I'll let you take it, Denise.
Amy, that's such an important piece of information that we all want to capture for each other, including for ourselves, too. Letting others know in our life how they can find our passwords. And for our aging parents, it's important, too, as well, to understand where do they keep important passwords for online accounts, for their phone, for their computer, because you never know when you have to access that information. So in many ways, what we're asking for is just access. If something happened, how would I have access? And, you know, the other one to have access to is someone's home.
Yeah.
Because you never know if there's an emergency and you have to get into a home. So where can I find the extra set of key? Could you give me an extra set of keys? Could a neighbor have an extra set of keys? Could there be a lockbox somewhere that has an extra set of keys? And sometimes a local fire department will keep an extra set of keys just in case. So when we think about a password, it's also thinking about what's locked up. And how do we have access to what that is?
Yeah. I mean, everything that is important requires multiple steps. And I think if we had one or two passwords, it would be one thing to make sure your family knows. But because I can't even keep up with how many passwords I have, I mean, think of automatic payments. Everything that needs to be you know, canceled or taken care of? It just seems a bit overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming, capturing the information. And I think one of the challenges we have when we start to manage all these different lives, like the lives of our children, the lives of our aging parents, is that it's overwhelming to think about, how do I keep this information organized? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing to really think about. What's a system that comforts me because it keeps things organized? And it could be a spreadsheet. It could be a Word document. It could be an app. It could be notes that you take. Whatever it is that feels like, okay, this gives me peace of mind because I know where the information is. And then the other piece of it is, when we're capturing information, we want to make sure others know how to access it as well. We don't want to be the only one that keeps the access. We want to make sure others have access as well.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, this is different than the passwords. How do you have, or how do you know when to have the taking the car keys conversation? I have friends who are bad drivers, and some people are good drivers. But if you are a child, you know, your parent, right, is not, maybe you're recognizing they're not driving well. Do you have a conversation with your siblings? How do you know when to take the keys, and how do you know how to have that conversation?
I think that's one of the most stressful situations. It just is making my stomach turn thinking about it. It's very difficult to know how to step in, when to step in, and then when to actually add in what you're taking away. So, for instance, when you're thinking, okay, we need to take away the car keys, how are you providing transportation then? Because there's an impact. And the part of it then that can be complicated is, what are the transportation options? Mm. Yeah. And then what do we do? Because it might feel limited with transportation options. And I think what's really helpful is to know that it's not just you making a decision like this alone. You want to have conversations with doctors, for instance, so attending medical appointments. I think it's also helpful when you can to drive with your aging relative to get an insight into what's it like when they park, if they live in a home and they're pulling into the garage. What's it like when they pull into the garage? Do you notice that there's nicks and, you know, new dents in the car? So really be the observer and then think through, okay, how do I start the conversation? And I think it's helpful to think through starting the conversation. How do you feel about driving, Mom? When aren't you driving, for instance, at night? Where do you like to drive to? What are important activities that you need to get to? And then you have that kind of information that can help then think through, okay, I'm concerned. Let's start to talk to the doctor about this. And let's think about how we maintain independence for you when it's not independence through a car. It's independence through Uber or some other way to get you to where you need to go. We want to make sure you still stay active in the community.
What about this? What if you are well beyond, you know, this driving conversation? That you're way past that point where your parents need more serious care, but you feel like you can't really do it all for yourself. You know, what do you do about that? And maybe this should be a more specific question, but I don't know that I could ask that specific question. And, you know, there's more that I want to cover here with it. You know, I mean, because there's a lot that goes into that. Taking care of a parent, you have work, you have a life. You know, it's very difficult to be able to do that. So what do you say to someone who's in that position where it's a little more advanced?
Yes, and really, it's a great question. And a word that Amy used in really setting up our segment today was weird. And I would say it's a really weird feeling. That's such a good descriptor of what's happening. And when someone needs help, it's typically because of a disease or a diagnosis, and that's very difficult to manage. And you are thrown into the healthcare system, and you're starting to do things that make you uncomfortable or unsure. And you're also feeling the pressure of doing it right, except you might be doing some tasks that a healthcare professional does, and you are not a healthcare professional. So you feel this stress and pressure. And I think if we were to have one takeaway, it's that it's important to know it's not you doing it alone. It's you doing it with a team and thinking through who could be on your team and thinking about delegating tasks to individuals within your family system that are good at that task. For instance, my brother's a CPA, so he helped manage the finances. My sister has the great gift of gab. So she was the one that socialized with my parents in a way that I just don't have the capacity to do. I'm much more about let's get things done. And I sometimes drove my parents nuts because I was always like, let's get things done. And then my sister would come and just talk to them, socialize, gossip. Mm-hmm. And they loved that. So thinking through who's on the team and knowing when you are starting to take on those really significant tasks, it's good to have support around that. Those are emotional tasks as well. When you're doing something to help someone manage a disease process, it's emotional. You are feeling their heartbreak because life is different for them, but it's different for you too. It's important to know that it's not just tasks, it's the emotions of the experience, and to get that support around managing those emotions.
Yeah, you know, that is so important and something I feel really, really sensitive to, because how do you balance what we might think is physically the best thing for them with what is mentally best for them? Because I know, you know, a lot of times as people get older, maybe sometimes their world gets smaller. But I know with my grandma, like her Friday hair appointment, that was such a big deal to her. It was so important, you know, and that's like the generation making it through the Depression and living through those years. And, you know, for her, it was that Friday hair appointment. So changing that, because we went, oh, we want to take care of her physically, right? If you change that, it was so hard on her. And so how do you say, okay, my grandma, my grandpa, my parents, these routines and this familiarity is so important to them that I might be doing more harm by taking them out of it too much.
What you described is quality of life. And I think what we're trying to do is really maintain quality of life for, and we call them carees, anyone who's receiving our help and support, our carees, as well as for ourselves. And it's important to know that what quality of life looks like mm-hmm. is going to change over time. And to be okay with making decisions that you think, the hair appointment on Friday afternoons is so important, not only because of how it makes her feel, but because of how she feels in terms of engaging with that social part of being in the hair salon and all that activity and energy. That's an important part of someone's well-being. So let's think through how do we keep that as part of her quality of life and then adjust beyond that. It's always making a decision that feels like, oh, what's the best decision? And that pressure around what's the best decision. Mm-hmm. And if we can think about it from the perspective of quality of life, it can make it a little easier than to think, well, this is quality of life. We want to keep that.
Mm-hmm. Denise Brown is the founder and owner at the Caregiving Years Training Academy, has written multiple books on this subject. There's a 5-book series, in fact, called Take Comfort, and you should check them out. This is a bit really good stuff and important information. A lot of our listeners might be going through all of this right now and thinking, yeah, this is difficult, and it's nice to have some resources here and nice to have a little bit of support. So we appreciate you, Denise. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great to connect with you guys.
And Denise Brown, again, founder and owner at the Caregiving Years Training Academy, and their website is careyearsacademy.com. So careyearsacademy.com. academy.com. It's Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. We are taking you up to the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. Tom Ackerman and I are going to talk trade deadline, which is tomorrow. Cardinals are likely going to be active between now and 5 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to talk to Brendan Schaefer, who covers the Cardinals. We are going to talk to Joe Torre, former Cardinals manager, Hall of Famer, will be on the show as well. That is all coming up here not too long from now. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Texter says that as an employee of the hospice world and a sandwich generation daughter, this conversation is gold. The one we have with Denise Brown with the Caregiving Years Training Academy. And the texter says, we always ask our patients, what is your greatest concern today? Because it changes day by day. So
thank you for texting in. Yeah,
we hope that conversation is helpful. You know, it's a really difficult part of life for everybody, for the parent, for the kids who are involved. And, you know, we're mindful of that.
And and like I said, we're going to continue every Wednesday at 11:30, the midweek, midday, midlife.
Yeah.
So if you have an issue, we all do. Twitter, yes, do. At Chris Amy KMOX. Let us know.
So we mentioned earlier that Aston Villa, the English Premier League team, playing a couple of games against MLS teams. And so they are playing tonight against our City SC club.
Yeah.
At Energizer Park, which is a really cool thing. If you get a chance to go there tonight, that's good for you, man. That's awesome. And so Harambe, our guy.
Hey, Harambe.
When we were having the conversation at the very beginning of the show, like 9:10, he texted in, why is City SC playing a Premier League team? We can't even beat MLS teams.
That's what I was saying.
And so
that's why I asked. They're not sending their A team, are they? Are these like the practice guys? The JV?
Yes.
Are these the JV? No,
it's
Aston
the real team. It's the real team. It's on the schedule, on their schedule. And so we did not acknowledge that text message.
Oh.
And Harambe 10 minutes ago says, Harambe here, I will not be ignored. Why is City SC playing a Premier League team? We can't even beat MLS teams.
I will not be ignored.
I will not be ignored. Okay. So just so you know, that's how you get through to us. If you want us to see it, you tell us you will not be ignored.
Well,
you know what we're going to do for Harambe?
Because I feel bad. Because we ignored him.
So Jerry Kelly, Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical, they have given us like free reign. So they've gotten a bunch of Old Town Donuts.
And they're rotting as we
speak. They're rotting as we speak. What they've done is they've bought a bunch of, because we're doing 100 acts of kindness because we're celebrating 100 years of KMOX this year. So what we've decided to do is every now and then we're going to give out a dozen donuts to a texter or a listener. A caller.
Just random.
Just a caller. Just random. If you've done something and we think you deserve it, we're going to throw a dozen donuts your way, courtesy of Jerry Kelly. So Harambe, we're going to send Harambe a dozen donuts.
And
how about that?
Harambe, do you know what it's called in the radio business? It's called a delight and a surprise.
That's right. And also, I guess you could even call it an incentive to participate. Because if you...
I don't think you can.
Well, yeah, I guess
not. I think
it's
just a delight and a surprise.
That's right. It is a delight and a surprise.
There's no incentive.
Well, I guess not. But if you say, if you have a great call, we might, who knows?
Maybe we don't know. Maybe it's a terrible call. There's no incentive here. We're so grateful
for
Harambe.
Right. You could be a really bad call, message on the Odyssey app.
No, not bad.
Well, not like...
Vulgar.
Not
you
vulgar.
Play it. It's got to be FCC compliant.
Yeah, it's got to be compliant. But maybe it's just a really dumb thought.
So how are we
maybe
getting this?
Maybe your thought is so stupid that we think, man, this person needs a dozen donuts.
Like how stupid, like what shape is my air conditioner?
Yeah, well, dude, I'm going to send you a dozen donuts.
By the way, people are calling in right now hoping to get donuts. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work.
No. Yeah.
There's no incentive.
No, we're not giving away to the fifth caller.
We need to somehow contact Harambe.
I will text them back.
Okay, we're going to text you back, Harambe.
Yeah. Don't be such a big baby about not having your text read on air. Gas House Gang is next. We're going to talk Cardinals trade deadline. Tom Ackerman and me. Big day coming up tomorrow. Podcasts available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, like YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We're all there at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. Back tomorrow at 9. Don't forget Forest Park broadcast from the Visitor Center on Friday. We'll be there 9 to noon, 104.1 FM KMOX.